It is so good to be in the house of God and to not only sense His presence, but to live with His presence, because He lives inside of our hearts by faith. And this morning, I felt impressed on my heart that I was led to a few scriptures that I pray that encourages you, and our lives are built this morning in Christ Jesus. I've entitled this message, Lord, Don't You Care? Lord, Don't You Care? And these were the words of the disciples that hang out with Jesus. These were the words of people that were intimate with Christ, seeing the miracles, seeing the breakthroughs, witnessing the healings, witnessing the power of God in their life. And yet, at times they doubted Jesus. Let me take a step further. At times they even blamed Jesus for the things that were going on by saying, you owe us something. Don't you care about us? And if you can open up with me to the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and down. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and down. It says this. Jesus was talking about His kingdom, and He likened His word to a seed that is being sown that produces fruit and life in us. And it comes a moment that He continues. It says, on the same day when He was teaching about the kingdom of God, when evening had come, He said to them, you see, we can experience moments of blessing. We can experience moments of breakthrough. We can experience moments about the kingdom of God, the truth of the word of God. We can experience breakthrough. We can experience shout. But in the same day, unexpected things can come into our life. In the same journey where there is laughter, all of a sudden weeping can come. In the moment when we're dancing, all of a sudden our feet can be glued to the floor. And in a moment of time, situations and circumstances can change. But I love that God never changes. And He says, on the same day as He was teaching about His kingdom, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, when evening has come, has evening come, has darkness come into our life in the midst of breakthrough, in the midst of rejoicing, in the midst when we thought that, God, You are with me, You're leading me, everything is exciting, everything is normal. And all of a sudden, evening comes, darkness comes. But that's the words when He says, and He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Hallelujah. In different words, in a time of darkness, my promises to you are this. Darkness will not swallow you. Darkness will not overtake you. But I have a word for you. In the midst of trials, in the midst of darkness, I'm calling you to move forward to the other side. My brothers and my sisters, all of us face challenges in our life. If we can have a moment to share what we're going through, I think we need a week to cancel all of our plans and to sit and hear each other's stories. But not only hear each other's stories of the times that we went through darkness, but be encouraged as well that God came through and is faithful. And that's the evidence why we are here. It's because we belong to Jesus and He cares for us. And He's calling me and you that all of a sudden when darkness comes out of nowhere, His word is, move forward. Don't let the darkness consume you, but let My word that is a lamp unto my feet and to your feet be the direction in my life and your life to move forward in Jesus Christ. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Him alone in the boat as He was. You see, it's always better to be around multitudes because it's easier a little bit to just fit in, share stories, not to be noticed, not to be called out, not to be pinned. It's easier for us a little bit to just cruise in multitudes. But Jesus now is calling a few aside and tells them, go to the other side. And they came to the boat, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. You see, in the moment when you think, man, we're in a hurry, we have to get to the other side. Jesus even warned us, the darkness is here, let's move to the other side. And Jesus, come with us. I don't know if other boats that the Bible says that were there as well, they were kind of arguing in what boat Jesus should go in. Maybe some disciples say, my boat. Some of the friends, no, in my boat. I'll pay you. I beg you. I want to bribe you. Can you come with me? I don't know what they were thinking, but he says that there were other boats on those waters. And in one of the boats was Jesus. And now all of a sudden, they can understand the little boats that were out there. I can face storms in life because Jesus is not here with me. I can understand why I'm facing storms in life. Because of his absence. But what about the disciples and his friends that invited Jesus into their boat? And they're experiencing storms in their life. And it says, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. Did Jesus bring a pillow with him? Everything is so specific in the story. In different words, Jesus is teaching his disciples that there is rest in me, even in the storms. I cannot explain this. There is no words to be able to express the things that sometimes Jesus reminds us about his kingdom. At times when we live them out, we can only experience them to a degree. But it's possible to rest in the peace of Christ in the storms that are coming into our life. Even in the moments when we believe that I follow you and I'm following your word, when you called me to the other side in this darkness. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In different words, another translation says, do you not care that we are dying? We invited you into our boat. We can understand other boats around struggling because you're not there, but you're with us. And my perception was that if I commit my life to you and I follow you, everything will be perfect. There will be no waves in life. We will not be challenged in life. We will not go through pain. We will not go through suffering. We will not go through different things that others might go through without you. And now they have a demand to him. They're even accusing him and questioning his character. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You have saved other people. You have opened the eyes to the blind. You have healed people that were sick. You resurrected Lazarus. You have done so many things in people's lives. But when it comes to us, the people that were chosen by you, the disciples, the closest people that we have committed to you, giving our lives to you in ministry to a higher degree. God, why are these things are happening to me and to my family? Do you not care what's going on? We were counting on your deliverance. We were counting on a breakthrough. Let me put it this way. We were counting not for you to take us through the storm, but we were counting for you to shield us from the storm. And that was the very accusation that they were doing. Don't you care about us? Verse 39. Then he arose, meaning Jesus arose, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." That's the heart of God. In that moment, the reaction would be that Jesus would rebuke their disciples and maybe would have told them, "Go work harder. What is wrong with you? Why have you allowed the water to come into the boat? Why didn't you come right away to me? Because it doesn't happen in a second. Why were you trying to fight through the storm all of these minutes, hours, or however how long it took? Why did you wait it for the waters to be so filled into this boat that now your life is in jeopardy? Why didn't you come right away?" He could have pointed fingers, but he does not. His first reaction, the word of God, is showing us. They began to speak and says, "Peace to the storm. Peace, be still." My brother, my sister, whatever what you're going through, God is not mad at you. He's not pointing fingers to tell you and accuse you. Why didn't you come a little bit earlier to deal with the circumstances? It's a little too late. Why didn't you call upon my name when you just had a thought that things are going in the wrong direction? No, no, no. But whatever where you are, you can cry out to him, and his reaction would be peace to the storms in your life. Hallelujah. And he continues, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" In different words, "I am with you. And if I am with you, you will not die. If I am with you, things will not happen to you that you do not expect. If I am with you, everything will be okay." And then he continues that before I saw this as a rebuke. And maybe to a degree it is a rebuke. He says, "How is that you have no faith?" But as I was reading this again and again, to me, a different side of the story opened up. In different words, it's saying, even when you have no faith for hope, I'm going to show up. In the moment when they had no faith that things can change, not even a faith as a mustard seed, as the word of God teaches us to have. How is it that you have no faith? But let me tell you, even when you have no faith, even when you have no strength, I will still show up because I am committed to you and I am faithful to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we feel condemned even not having the little faith that is required of us. Lord, don't you care? I feel so numb to the things of the Lord. I feel bound to the things that I want freedom from. I go to church and I hear your gospel. I hear that there is power in the name of Jesus. I hear that I can walk in victory, and yet I find myself again and again at the same places that I hate to be in. Don't you care? Don't you care? I thought that when I became born again, I welcomed you into my boat. I welcomed you into my life. I welcomed you into my heart. But the things that I'm dealing with in life are sinking me. I am dying. I am going through these things. And it's so painful. And what's even more painful, that I'm coming to conclusion now that you don't care about me. And that's a dangerous place to be. But I love that even in those moments when we allow thoughts like this to form our perception, that Jesus, it's almost telling us that even in the moment when you have no faith, no hope, I'll come, the storms in your life. And through that, I'll reveal myself to you. Because he continues and says this, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be?" In different words, whatever perception and understanding they had about Jesus till then changed. Who can this be? that even the wind and the sea obey him. Hallelujah. Who can this be? It is our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our Lord. It is our God that loves us. It's Jesus who does not keep wrong against us. It's Jesus that wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's Jesus Christ who will carry us to the other side, which is heaven. But in this journey, we will face darkness. In this journey, we will face challenges. And at times, we will even face questioning God. Yes. At times, we will even face thoughts in our mind that we were never thought before. And at times, we will even be scared of our own thoughts. And even not have faith because we're so discouraged. But in that moment, God will come and reveal himself to us in a deeper way. Amen. If you can open up to the First Kings. First Kings chapter 17 says this. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain this year except at my word." Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Let's stop here for a moment. Again, the prophet Elijah, God is giving him directions. God is telling him something to do. And he's saying, in the midst of famine, in the midst of darkness, I will provide for you. Go to this brook. I'll be there to meet your needs. And the Bible says this, "For he went and stayed by the brook of Kereth, which falls into the Jordan," verse 6. "The raven brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." And it happened suddenly, out of nowhere, like the storms that the disciples have experienced. After a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there." Elijah could have said, "Are you kidding me? You have led me to a brook already, and you told me that you're going to provide. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, the brook dries up, and now you're coming to me with another word, arise and continue to move forward. I think I'm done with you. I think I'm done following you. I think I'm done following all these things that seem so insane in that moment." But God does not let him stay there. He says, "Move forward. Move forward. So I have commanded the widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Verse 12. So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." What a story. How would you feel to be there talking with this woman? And let me take a little further. How would you feel being that widow, knowing, preparing for a funeral, gathering a meal to say, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. God, I don't know. It seems it's so much issues. It seems there's so much problems. There's a famine. I'm working so hard. I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. But you see, this is where God comes to Elijah and dries up the brook so he can become the answer to this woman. And it seems in the beginning that it seems selfish for Elijah. Maybe to a degree, Elijah did not even know the depth of what he's asking. Maybe he did not even know, which he did not, because in response, the woman tells him, are you crazy? This meal is my last meal to say goodbye to my son. This is the meal that we're gonna eat. And maybe they were thinking, where should I be burying each other? And you are coming asking if I can share this meal with you. Well, if you want this meal as well, why don't you join us and we can all dig 3 graves. One for Elijah, one for me as a widow, and one for my son. It's a desperation. It's a moment to say, Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you care about my children? Don't you care about my family? Don't you care about my marriage? Where are you? The last time I'm doing this and I'm gone, the last time I'm going to ask forgiveness and one more time they're wounding me, I'm not forgiving them anymore. This is the last time I'm gonna seek help. If not, I'm gonna leave him or her. This is the last time I'm running to you, because all what I see is death, not your promises. All what I'm witnessing is hurt and pain. Don't you care about me? And Elijah said to her, as the worship team comes, do not fear. Those were the words of Jesus as well to the disciples. Do not fear. What are you talking about, Elijah? It's easy for you to say. You don't have a wife next to you, I don't see it. You don't have children next to you that I don't see it. You're by yourself. And it seems like you're so irresponsible that you have the audacity to come to me to ask for food. And yet I'm struggling here. And I'm preparing to die. But Elijah says, do not fear. If you think that that's easy, like we read the story kind of like, oh my goodness, because we know the end. Imagine being there. Imagine facing that story. Imagine facing Elijah, hearing the things. And how would we respond? He says, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from its food and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. Whoa. First for me, then for you, and then for your son. When we are flying in the airplane and they're giving instruction in case of emergency, what do? You take that mask and do you put on your friend and your wife, as much as you love your wife, do you put that mask to save her and your children? No. It says, first, you put this mask on. Because by putting this mask on, you'll have the strength and the ability to help others that are in need around you. And here again it says, you must eat to have the strength and faith that your son will live. And through that, you will feed your son. Brothers, my sisters, that's the word of God that reminds me and you that we must be fed ourselves to have the ability to feed others that are in hunger, in thirst, broken. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. In different words, my brothers and my sisters, the oil, which is a type and a representation of the Holy Spirit, and the rain represents also the blessing and abundance of the Lord. Till then, till the rain comes, till the promises of the Lord come to be fulfilled in our life, the oil, the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to keep you till that time. The Holy Spirit is not gonna dry out. The word of God, which is a representation of bread, is gonna give you the grace and the strength till the rain will come, till that abundant rain will come, will the promises of the Lord we will reap in our lives, where the fruit of the Spirit will be known in our life. But at times we need the Holy Spirit to just sustain us so we can face the next minute of our life. And that's the promise of the Lord saying, the oil will not dry, but you'll have just enough. I'll be there just enough to give you the strength to take the next step, the next day, the next minute, the next hour. Because I promise rain in your life. And the rain will come. But till then, through this journey, my oil will sustain you. And the bread of the Word of God will give you the strength that you need. But I'm not going to read this whole thing again, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. And it seems like the breakthrough is here, right? It seems like, what a miracle. They're waking up in the morning, they're going to the kitchen, there is food. Day after day after day. God, I'm following you. Thank you that you have sent the prophet into my life. And the Bible says in verse 17, out of nowhere, now it happened after these things, that the son of the woman who went, who was in the house, became very sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Out of nowhere, God, you have led me. I enjoyed your promises. I enjoyed the flour. I enjoyed the bread. I enjoyed the oil. What is going on? But he says, out of nowhere, things can change. Like in the disciples' life, out of nowhere, storms came into their life. In the midst of obedience, in the midst of obeying God, going to the other side, out of nowhere, things changed. Where are you, Lord? And all of a sudden, she has issues now with this prophet. What did you do? You have fooled me. At least if he would have died out of hunger, I would have planned better. At least I knew that was the last meal. I could have talked with him. I could have communed with him. I could have said things in his life. But out of nowhere, but God is saying, I have power and authority to resurrect. I have power and authority to heal. I have power and authority for death not to have the last word. And Elijah began to cry out to the Lord and pray. And God heard his cry. And his spirit revived. Breath came back into his lungs. My brothers and my sisters, we will face storms. Storms are part of our life. They're not easy, and I would fool yourself and myself if I would have told you that they're easy. And if I would have told you, oh, I know what that all of that means. No, each one of us go through different seasons, different things. But I am here to tell you that true storms, a revelation of God's heart, came into this widow's life in a deeper way. At the end, she says, your God is alive. Your God is true to his word. And I know that many things we cannot answer in this journey, in this walk that we have. But one day when we see him face to face, everything will make sense. Everything will just make sense. But till then, we are fighters and soldiers in Jesus Christ. But till then, we're to finish this journey. We're to finish this path. The Bible says this in John 6, verse 60 and down, that Jesus began to talk to his disciples about the cross and the blood that was shed on the cross. And he likened it that, listen, if you don't partake from this cross, if you don't partake of my body and my blood, if you don't come to me and eat this flesh and drink this blood, in different words, the community that is a type, The juice is a type of the blood, and the bread is a type of his flesh. If you don't come and do these things, you will not have life. And many disciples says, no, this is too complicated. I don't want to go through this pain. I don't want to go the cross. You're dying. No. Many gave up and many left because the words of Jesus offended people that only wanted to follow him when everything was perfect. But then he looks at Peter and his disciples. He says, I'm telling you something that it's about to come. You might not understand fully. But not only I will go through the cross and I will die on a cross, but also you will suffer because I'm not going to be with you for a moment physically. I'm telling you things that are to come that offends other people and they left. I'm telling you that this journey of following me will cost you. I'm telling you, not everything will be perfect. Do you want to leave too? Because if you do, you have a choice. You don't have to commit to me. But I have to be honest with you and open with you that this journey requires trust in me. You will face storms. You will face pain. You will face difficulty. You will face betrayal. You will face sickness. You will face all of these things. But if you come to me and commune with me, you'll have life in this journey. And then Peter, out of all, says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In different words, Peter saying, even if I have to go through this path that I do not understand, which Peter did not understand because later on he denied him. You would think that revelation came and Peter was committed. No, he failed him again. But the difference is God was committed to Peter even when Peter was unfaithful to him. God is committed to you, my brother, my sister. And he came through a revelation that I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever comes to me, I will lead them. I will guide them. I will bring them to the other side. And one day, everything will make sense. But till then, we will face a journey that often we'll go through. Psalm 34:18 says this, the Lord is close to the people or to those whose hearts are broken and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. When our hearts are broken and we're crushed and we're going through things, we become the perfect candidates for the Lord to do something in our life. And I love that about him, that even in the lowest moments in my life, he did the greatest work in my life. In the lowest moments of my life, when I chose my own path, when I was rebelling against him, when I did not understand everything, and because of guilt and shame, I wanted to even run further away from him, he became my strength. He became my light. He became my food. He became my Savior. Hallelujah. And I want to close with this thought about Solomon. When Solomon built the temple, it came the time to dedicate the temple. And the Bible says that he came into the temple. He bowed his knees before the Lord, lifted up his hands, and he began to cry out to the Lord. He began to thank him. He was overwhelmed with the presence of God. And he was saying these words, oh God, when your people are gonna sin and they look towards this temple, hear them from heaven. What he speaks to me is this, when your people are gonna go through hard times that they're not gonna even wanna come to the temple, when they're not even gonna have the strength to come to the house of God, so to speak, when they look towards this temple, hear them and forgive their sin. How many people are bound in sin And it's not because they don't want to show up here. It's because they don't have the strength even to come here. He continues as God. If you're going to punish them and close the heavens and not give rain, they might be so busy on the fields working so hard, trying to make something work. But if they look towards this temple, hear them from heaven and send the rain. God, if your people are sick and they will have illnesses in their life, they will look towards this temple. They don't even have to show up into the temple. Only if they look towards this temple, would you heal them and hear the cry of their heart? Oh God, if they're in battles, they're going to be so busy fighting the enemy. And if it comes a moment that they're going to be losing in the battle, in that moment, maybe they cannot stop and run to the temple. But if they turn towards the temple and cry out to you, hear them from heaven and give them victory. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, my brothers and my sisters, we don't have to look through things. We don't have to look towards things. We don't have to look to our building. But we can lift our eyes to the Lord from where our help comes from. And our help comes from the Lord. I don't have a solution for what you're going through. But I have one thing that has been proven right throughout centuries. In the name of Jesus. That's the solution. In the name of Jesus, wholeness can come, healing can come, freedom can come, reconciliation can come, a marriage can be healed, a child can be saved, a relationship can be renewed through the power of Christ. You might not even have strength to go places where you need to go to receive healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, strength. But look to the Lord. And He is our tower. He is our foundation. He is our strength. And He will offer you and me everything that we need to live a victorious life. And by the grace of God at the end to say, like Pastor Carter always reminds us, one day when we stand before God, we're not going to give Him all the things why we should be standing there, all the reason why we deserve. But none will matter. All what we will say, by the grace and the grace of God, we are here. Hallelujah. That's our journey of faith. That's our journey of faith. By the grace of God. Oh God, where are you? Don't you care about me? I care about you. And that's why I'm allowing you to go through some of the things. Because maybe only you can go through that thing and somebody else can't. Why it's me, not somebody else? Because I'm doing something in your life and through your life that only if you can understand that it's enough oil that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength just to move forward. Move forward for me and you to partake from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then one day we'll look back and say, oh God Almighty, thank you. Thank you. I do not understand it all right now. But one day, as Apostle Paul teaches me and you, and as Job reminds us that my eyes, not our eyes, it's personal. Our personal journey with the Lord, my eyes, will see my Savior. And if there is anything that I would like to wrap it up with and remind you that it's okay. It's okay to say, Lord, don't you care? It's okay to say that. In the moment of distress, in the moment of pain, it's okay to be open and honest with the Lord because He already knows it anyways. He knows our hearts, our feelings, what we're going through. But He's there in the boat. He's there. He's here. At times you might think He's sleeping, but no. He's always at work. And He's teaching me and you that we can rest through this journey. Somehow, I don't know how, but we can learn how to rest through this journey. To say, God, you have called me to the other side. I will face challenges in this journey, but you are responsible to bring me to the other side because I can do it. And even when I have no faith, because I always looked at that word and that comment as a rebuke. To a degree, it was. But it also showed me that even in no faith, Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. Because he's committed. He's committed to you. He's married to you. He's married to the church of Jesus Christ. He's married to us. He's not moved by feelings. One day he feels good, the other day he feels bad. We are like that, but he's not like that. He's committed to us. Hallelujah. And even in no faith, when we are no show, he is a show. He will show up and he will carry us to the other side. By the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Father, God, thank you that your word has power. Lord, I'm just trying to walk this in obedience. Sharing what I feel you're leading me to share. You know what your people are going through. You know what we're facing. And Lord, we're asking you this morning that in the midst of despair, in the midst, when we're asking questions, Lord, don't you care about what I'm going through? Where are you? Lord, I thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us, but you will lead us to the other side and you will help us. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. You're such an amazing Father. You're a good Father. God, teach us. Teach us to worship you in a battle. Teach us, because that's where healing is received. When we lift our voices and our hands to you in a battle, when we feel so weak, broken, in pain, wounded, not understanding you, being mad at you. Oh God, but I thank you that you never give up on us. And even in our weakest moments of our life, when we have no faith, the oil, the Holy Spirit, will be just enough to carry us through to the next meal, the next moment, the next minute, the next day. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.